Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 15. "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for understanding. We ask, as Paul prayed and as I have often prayed, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. And as the man said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I pray above all that we would see Jesus, that as we read the text, you'd give us understanding, and that we would see Jesus and be encouraged to follow Him. Not encouraged to attend church more, not encouraged to give more in the offering bucket, not encouraged to be a better person, or any such thing, but that we would be encouraged to follow Jesus and what the Bible says about Him. And for that, Lord, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in that precious and wonderful name, the name above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Peter's great confession. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who's everybody saying that I am?" And some would say, "Well, you're Elijah, or one of the prophets, or this or that, or whatever." All the different things that somebody might come up with, and there are a few things listed that people said. But then he got personal and said, "But what do you say that I am? You've been walking with me for all these years?" And it was a total of 3.5 from the time that he called them until the time that he went to the cross. "Who do you say that I am?" And that's a question I want to put to you today. Who do you say that Jesus is? I've said it before. I want to say it as strongly as I know how to say it. I hate religion. I despise religion. I am not a religious person, though people might say, "Well, you know, you preach Jesus, you go to church, etc., you shout hallelujah, you must be religious." Well, I'm not. I'm not. But I am a follower of Christ. Doesn't matter what my church says or believes. Doesn't matter what my denomination says I ought to think or whatever. Doesn't matter what the bulletin says is going to happen this Sunday. Doesn't matter if your particular church has some sort of order of service, like the Episcopals. They have the Book of Common Prayer. They know on every day I think it's mapped out for something like 3 years. What's going to happen in each service? Don't care about any of that stuff. I think the Catholics are like that too, I think. Don't care. I don't care about church. Now, we ought to go to church. We ought to attend church, by all means. If they want you to sing in the choir, go ahead and sing in the choir. You know, be involved in your church, by all means. Please don't misunderstand. Church is important. But church can't save you. And you can know all the people in church. You can have a relationship, or we call it fellowship in the church. You can have a relationship with the people in your church, and they can become close to you, maybe even closer than your family. And that's fantastic. But the one you should have a relationship with is Jesus Christ. We serve, as was explained to Thomas. Jesus congratulated him on believing when he put his hand in the Lord's side and touched the fingers or the palms or whatever it was, put his own finger through the hand of Christ. That's fantastic, Thomas, you believe, but there are going to be those that have never seen me, only heard my name preached, my Bible taught, but have never seen me yet believe. And I'm happy to be one of those that I've never seen God. Jesus never appeared to me like on the road to Damascus while Paul had a chance to actually meet him. I've never seen him. But he's closer to me than my own family, than my own mother, than my own wife. I know more about God than any person on this earth. I can tell you about my family. I can tell you what one likes, what one doesn't like. I can tell you what happened when I was a kid. I can tell you all the history. But Jesus is closer to me than anybody in my family. And again, I serve a Lord I've never seen. There's a relationship that you can have that's available just like I've got. You can have a relationship. You can know the friend that the Psalms say is closer than a brother. You can know him. Peter, who do you say that I am? We understand as we read the Bible, as we study the Gospels, Jesus didn't openly say who he was. And then he began to tell his disciples, but they didn't get it. They didn't understand. He would speak to them plainly, whereas to the crowds he would give stories, parables. The disciples would come and say, well, that's fantastic, Jesus, but what does it really mean? But he didn't tell all about himself. But when asked, again in Matthew chapter 16, Peter was able to testify that he knew inside him, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that flesh and blood, or people, did not give him that understanding, but that God from heaven, by the Holy Ghost, God revealed that to Peter. I don't know how to say it any plainer, though I've been shouting it for 9.5 years on this radio station. You need a relationship with God, not with your church, not with your denomination, not with this or that. Those things are important. It's very important that you go to church. It's somewhat important that you are affiliated with a denomination, perhaps, or perhaps not. It's important if you're involved in men's ministry or women's ministry or youth ministry or something. It's important that you get to know those guys. It's important that you work with them. You have a goal, you have some kind of strategy, you have some kind of thing that you've decided, okay, we want to do this. That's fantastic. But a relationship with God is so much deeper and so much more precious than the relationships that we can have with our church and the people in it, or with just a mere denomination. You know, a denomination is just a bunch of church representatives, sometimes elected, sometimes not, that form a legal organization. And churches will affiliate with that organization. And there's different ways of doing it. And one church will do a certain way and have certain bylaws and whatever, and another will have something completely different. But a denomination is just a bunch of men getting together and saying, we think we believe this, and hey, one of the churches fellowship with us. It's nothing special in a denomination. But too often people get it in their minds that that's the most important thing on the planet, is what denomination they're a part of. Who cares, honestly? Because if you die, and all you know is your church, and all you know is your denomination, Jesus, we can read it in the Gospels, will say, I don't know you. Go away. Depart from me, for I never knew you, is what the text says. You must know him. You must know him. And it's not a mental thing. Okay, I've heard the gospel explained to me, and they told me I was a sinner, and they told me that Jesus died for me, and okay, if I say this prayer, I'm a Christian. No. You need to have what Peter had. Nobody told Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. But God told him. But God told him. You need to have a revelation from God. One day Jesus is coming back. I don't know when that's going to be. I think it's soon. Looking at the world system, looking at the world, the way it's crashing headlong to some destination and about to crash, in my opinion. You can look at politics, the stuff in the Middle East, the stuff here in America, ISIS. You can look at all kinds of things. You know, Russia's getting bold again, and they're doing flybys just a few hundred feet from our warships. There's going to be some kind of a showdown with China, probably, in the China Sea. They construct artificial islands by putting junk into the ocean and building up and building up, and like you take some kind of bulldozer and make a pile. They dump trash and riprap and concrete or dirt or boulders or whatever into the ocean and make an artificial island. And then say, okay, from this point, our territory extends another 12 miles or whatever the distance is. They're encroaching towards Korea or Japan, I forget exactly what. And there's going to be a showdown. There's so many things wrong. There's so many things coming together that something's going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to come back because of all of what I said, but it looks like things are getting bad. In my opinion, just as the apostle said, that day is closer than when you first believed. It's been 2,000 years when Jesus went up and the angel said in Acts chapter 1, hey, he's coming back. Be looking for him. Again, you can look at the signs of the times. You can know that it is near, the coming of the Lord. But even if Jesus waits another 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 years to come back, the fact is, tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. You could get hit by a bus on the way home from church. You could have a heart attack next week. Or you may live another 50 years. I'm not trying to say anything evil. But tomorrow's not promised. Yes, I believe he's coming back shortly. And that's why I'm on this radio station. And that's why I make trips down to Haiti. That's why I preach in churches and do things on the internet, trying to tell people, hey, it's time to come to God. But it's time to come to God. It's time to get serious about living for God. He may come tomorrow. We used to preach that. Or you could die tomorrow. But my point is, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus yourself. You've got to know him yourself. And salvation is not found in any church. Not the Baptist church, not the Methodist, not the Pentecostal, not the Catholic, not any church. Salvation is found in the person of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary when he hung and bled and died and shed his blood for our sins. You've got to know him. You've got to know him. You've got to know him. But let's take a look at this text. It says in verse 21, again, Matthew chapter 16, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. In other words, to say, hey man, what are you saying? I mean, stop talking like that. What do you mean you're going to die? Are you crazy? Began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest, or you care not for the things that are of God, but those that be of men. That's a strong statement that the Lord made. He begins to tell his disciples, as I mentioned a while ago, this is why I came. This is why I left heaven and was put into Mary's womb. And my whole life, you can read some of it in the Gospels and Luke and what have you, but I began to preach when I was 30. You know the story, John the Baptist? He said, I began to preach to lead men back to God. I've healed a bunch of sick folks, raised the dead, Lazarus, what have you. And that's great, Peter, John, Andrew, what have you, all the disciples. But Jesus said, I've got to go to the cross. I've got to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Soon, they're going to kill me. And Peter and the other disciples said, have you lost your mind, Jesus? What are you talking like that for? Nobody wants to die. Now, some people, I understand, commit suicide, but I'm not talking about that. But people want to live. Everybody wants to live. Nobody wants to die. Nobody's looking forward to dying. Jesus, what are you saying? Gonna die. It's natural. It's natural for a person to try and prolong his life or to save his skin or what have you. But Jesus was saying, I've got to go to the cross. I've got to die for the sins of the world. They're going to kill me. They're going to pluck my beard. We can read the story. They're going to crucify me. And when Peter and the disciples said, hey, Jesus, stop talking like that. We just read what Jesus said. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Speaking to Peter and the other disciples. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because they were caring about and being concerned about the things that people are concerned about. And again, it's natural to want to save your skin. It's not natural to want to go be crucified. But it's the things of God, he said. The plan of God that Jesus would give his life. And again, Jesus came to this earth to be crucified and to die for the sins of the world. What did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. We think of Jesus as meek, and he was. And artists will draw a picture of him holding a baby lamb coming down the mountain and all that stuff. And that's a good picture. But you've heard me teach often enough about the temple and the sacrifices. You've heard me teach often enough that you should understand that Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, crucified, that he was sacrificed just like the lambs in the Old Testament. Remember Abraham. God told Abraham, you got a son, that's great, Isaac. Take your son and go to the mountain I'll show you and sacrifice your son. Any sane person would say, God, you're crazy. No, wait a minute, that ain't God. That's a voice from the devil. That's not, why would God say sacrifice my son? That can't be God. But you see, it was God. It was God, and Abraham did that. He took his son, he got the pack animals and the servant and the sticks, I think it says, and they went. They went to Mount Moriah, and Abraham began to do as God said. And as he was almost ready to plunge the knife or slit his throat or whatever the case, God spoke to Abraham again and says, hey, don't do that, Abraham, because I know you trust me now. I know that you believe me now. I know that your faith is great now, because I see what you're about to do. But if you look down the mountain a little bit, there's a ram with his horns that are caught in the brush. Take that lamb and sacrifice him instead. Again, the natural mind thinks of all of this and says, no, I don't believe any of this. This is crazy. I mean, God tells Abraham to kill his son. I don't believe it. Well, believe it. But again, God provided that ram as a sacrifice. And what God asked Abraham to do, to offer up as a sacrifice his own son, that's what God did. Peter, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as Jesus began to explain, he was the one that was going to die for the sins of the world. He was the one that was going to be crucified. What Abraham was asked to do, God did himself. God gave his only begotten Son. What does John 3:16 say? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much, for God so loved the world. But again, this is not a normal thing. This, from a human point of view, is a crazy thing. But that's what God did for us. God sent his own Son and allowed him to be beaten and nailed to a cross. And God's Son hung in blood and died. Again, you can go to church, and by all means, you should attend church. But you need to have a relationship with the Lord. You need to know him yourself. And it's my prayer that God will help you to make that decision, and that you'd surrender your life to him. And may God bless you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.